when I was auxiliary bishop in northern Indiana, and all the years I was a priest at the University of Notre Dame, I did a lot of weddings. And you always worked real hard, if you knew the couple, to say words that would be appropriate to them. However, the longer I was a priest, I realized the couple almost never heard what you said. And you were mostly, and it's a good thing to do, preaching to the married couples in the church, to the family and friends. They might hear what you're saying, but that nervous couple usually didn't. But the older folks in this cathedral, maybe the ones who were married 50 years ago or even more, will remember that in the olden days, there was only one exhortation given at a wedding. Wedding after wedding, the same words were said. And I think even as an altar boy, I kind of knew them from memory because I'd hear it every Saturday. And I think it may have had some value in it. It was passing on the tradition of Christian marriage. Hopefully those words over generations got into people's hearts and souls and minds. I don't have to tell you Christian marriage today is under attack. And maybe we need those received words of tradition more than ever before. So I thought this evening I would read to you the exhortation for matrimony from the Roman Missal. My dear friends in Christ, as you know, you are about to enter into a union which is most sacred and most serious, a union which was established by God Himself. By it, He gave to humankind a share in the greatest work of creation, the work of continuing the human race. And in this way, He sanctified human love and enabled man and woman to help each other live as children of God by sharing a common life under God's fatherly care. Because God Himself is thus its author, marriage is at its very nature a holy institution, requiring of those who enter into it a complete and unreserved giving of self. But Christ our Lord added to the holiness of marriage an even deeper meaning and an even higher beauty. He referred to the love of marriage to describe His own love for His church, that is, for the people of God whom He redeemed by His own precious blood. And so He gave to Christians a new vision of what married life ought to be, a life of self-giving love, like His own. It is for this reason that His apostle, St. Paul, clearly states that marriage is now and for all time to be considered a great mystery, intimately bound up with the supernatural union of Christ and His church, which union is also to be marriage's pattern. This union, then, is most serious because it will bind you together for life in a relationship so close and so intimate that it will profoundly influence your entire future. That future with its hopes and disappointments, its successes and its failures, its pleasures and its pains, its joys and its sorrows, is hidden from your eyes. You know that these elements are mingled in every life and are to be expected in your own. And so, not knowing what is before you, you take each other for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do you part. Truly then, these words are most serious. It is a beautiful tribute to your undoubted faith in one another that, recognizing their full import, you are nevertheless so willing and ready to pronounce them. And because these words involve such solemn obligations, it is most fitting that you rest the security of your wedded life upon the great principle of self-giving. And so you begin your married life by the voluntary and complete surrender of your individual lives in the interest of that deeper and wider life which you are to share in common. Therefore, you belong entirely to each other. You will be one in mind, one in heart, one in love. And whatever sacrifices you may hereafter be required to make to preserve this common life, always make them generously. Sacrifice can be difficult and irksome. Only love can make it easy, and perfect love can make it a joy. We are willing to give in proportion as we love. And when love is perfect, the sacrifice is complete. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son so loved us that he gave himself for our salvation. Greater love than this no one has than someone who lays down his life for his friends. No greater blessing can come to your married life than pure conjugal love, loyal and true to the end. May then this love with which you join your hands and hearts today never fail, but grow deeper and stronger as the years go on. And if true love and unselfish spirit of perfect sacrifice guide your every action, you can expect the greatest measure of earthly happiness that may be allotted to men and women in this passing life. The rest is in the hands of God, nor will God be wanting to all your needs. He will pledge you the lifelong support of his graces in the sacrament of matrimony, which you are to bestow upon one another. I don't know about you, I think the words of the Roman tradition are pretty great.